evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome as Para-X presents Keeping the Spirits Alive. This is a show that represents a fresh perspective into the world of paranormal investigating and related topics, and how history plays an important role in keeping the spirits alive. This is your co-host, Chip Reichenthal, and while we're preserving history one location at a time, I'm proud to introduce our host, founder of the renowned paranormal investigative team, Glory Haunt Hounds, Mr. John Tobin.
Ah, here we go.
That was funny.
Wow.
I like that.
Yeah, you like that? That's a little Halloween special treat we have for you guys.
Yes, it sounds like it could be our spooktacular show, John.
The spooktacular. Just to annoy Kathy, I'm going to talk like this for the whole show.
Yes, of course, we shall.
So it is indeed Halloween spooktacular. Hey. So there, people were talking about some kind of like storm or rain or wind or something. You heard about this thing?
Yeah.
What's going on out there?
Everybody says it's windy.
I thought they said it was Sandy.
Yeah, that's it. I knew it was some girl's name.
Wendy, Sandy, you know, it's all good.
We shouldn't really make light of it, but, you know, it's a defense mechanism to
It absolutely is. We are very lucky here. We've got a little bit of rain, a little bit of wind, but there's a lot of folks out there, a lot of good friends of mine that are having the same luck. So please stay safe. Stay in. Don't go anywhere.
Yes, sir.
Listen to us here on Para-X if you're lucky enough to have power. If not, hope your cell phone's charged up and you're listening to us on TuneIn.
Yeah, and they have a special advantage tonight, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, they have an advantage tonight. They have another, we have 2 hours.
Oh, my goodness.
We were given an extra hour.
Wow.
I think the Para-X gods fell asleep and didn't realize what they were doing here. Because if they were awake, they definitely wouldn't have given us an extra hour.
Yeah, well, you know, it works for me. I you know how I love to talk, and I like being with my friend John here. And
that's right.
Wow, it's almost Chip's bucket list day.
So we have 1 hour and 49 minutes of Chip and 21 minutes of John. Woohoo! No, we actually have a really, really cool spooktacular plan for you tonight.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it really doesn't get any better than what we have lined up.
I'm going to let Chip tell you about who our guests are, since this is absolutely his favorite show on TV. So.
Yes. Oh, it's my bucket list show, especially throughout the first hour. And then throughout the second hour, we have some really cool stuff, but focusing on the first hour here, it is really Chip's bucket list show. I am actually fans of the show and the two guests that we have tonight, so it's very exciting. It is Steve DeShavi and Amy Allen from Travel Channel's The Dead Files, one of my favorite shows on TV, so it's very exciting. And John is here, too.
And that's very exciting.
And that's always exciting. I like that.
I want to give a special shout-out to my lovely, I'm going to call her, even though she's not, my maybe someday sister-in-law, Sue, who's listening for the first time tonight.
Got stranded. Sue is listening.
Out in New York. She's supposed to be back home, so I'm guessing she, you know, I'm going to go ahead and guess she probably would have forgot to listen if she was home, but she has no excuse now.
Yeah, the old forgetting ploy.
She can run, but she cannot hide.
That's right. I guess that's the evil laugh time.
Wow.
Been working on that all week.
You have. It doesn't show.
No, it doesn't. It really doesn't.
Strangely enough, that's the only thing you worked on all week.
Yes. Whoa, oh, that's sore. Right
hey,
there.
Do you have a chipism this week?
I do.
You do? And
yes.
It just gives, you know, your chipism actually is a little serious. There's a serious note to it, but you have some good stuff in there, too. So
yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and let you take it away before we start with Amy and Steve. Amy and Steve from The Dead Files will be up in just a minute. But before that, let me introduce you to the Monday Night Delight, the T-Rex of Para-X, the know-it-all with the Reichenthal.
Oh,
I don't even know what that means.
That's a new one.
That's a new one. Mr.
Like
Chip Reichenthal.
Oh, thank you, John, and thank you, everyone. And yes, first and foremost, since the name of the show is Keeping the Spirits Alive, this week we're keeping the spirit alive of a good friend of mine who we lost. He was laid to rest today. Jeff Blatnick was an Olympic gold medal winning wrestler in the Greco wrestling and is thought to have been responsible for the naming of the mixed martial arts program. Jeff Blatnick and I share a birthday, and he was born a year before me, and we went to the same high school together. And even though he was very good with wrestling, he had been battling some much more harrowing things, like cancer and other various illnesses that really took a toll on him. But he was very brave to fight through all that up until the 24th of this month, where he succumbed to a pulmonary, like cancer and other various illnesses that
John,
really
that
took a toll on him.
Like me.
Thank you. Wow.
Wow, that was special.
Okay. Anyway, I guess, well, we wanted to keep the spirit alive of our good friend Jeff Blatnick, laid to rest today, and we honor his memory. And this week's Chipism marks a very special occasion, moving on to lighter things, that I call fandom. I must, for the first time in the history of Keeping the Spirits Alive show, actually separate the meaning for the positive things I say about friends and guests of the show. Technically, I'm a fan of all my friends. I truly am. I deeply care about their well-being. I try my best to be unconditional and not judgmental in their regard. I defend their honor if needed, have their back. I can and will counsel them if ever needed, and have their best interests at heart. Knowing what it's like to live in pain, I'll do whatever I can to see them avoid any, and if they must engage it, then their pain becomes my pain. That goes for lifelong friends, Facebook friends, friends from past jobs, schools, neighborhoods, present friends, friends in our paranormal field, anyone that we have the honor of interviewing for the show, or whom we've met and befriended at paraconferences, I will go to my grave defending, embracing, or standing with and among. But I'm in unexplored territory today. Today, our guests, Amy Allen and Steve DeSchiavi, are two people that I'm a fan of. These are heroes of mine for the work they've done, for the work they do now, and how they do it. My daughter calls me a fangirl today, and for this upcoming interview, so shall I, Chip the Fangirl. For further perspective, now, I've been a member of a group on Facebook that are fans of the actor Vincent D'Onofrio. His Detective Gorin, I credit for saving my life, holding me through some of my worst pain days with an ongoing character that held my interest enough to distract me. And I watched these fans finally meet the actor, and you can see the delight on their faces and feel so good for them. Even then, it's an actor portraying what one of our two guests has actually done in life and then went on to improve our craft. I mean, how cool is that, really? Steve DeSchiavi is not only on my bucket list, he is my bucket list. We had Bruce Danko as a guest earlier this year. He was an Elizabeth, New Jersey police officer for more than 25 years. Great guy. Went on to appear on Ghost Hunters with his son, Dave Tango. And having Bruce on our show inspired me that week to write a piece on personal heroes of mine, because Bruce Tango risked his life for his community in relatively thankless manner, I imagine, a thanklessness that makes no sense to me. And went on to embrace the paranormal. And in that piece, I mentioned Steve DeSchiavi, a New York homicide detective that is now working to research haunted properties in exemplary fashion, setting examples for ideal research methods for our craft, setting examples for character, all for the qualities of a role model. The only downside to meeting him today is that I cannot shake his hand to thank him for his service to the New York community or the paranormal community. I can at least thank him and hope I find a way to do it in a manner appropriate enough in my mind, my fangirl mind. I hope he'll consider more episodes of the show, Watching the Detectives, also. Really good show. And I hope that someday I can have the honor of meeting him in person. With him is Amy Allen, a hero to me of a completely different kind. How many times have I talked on air about how I had my days very tuned in to the discarnate spirit, emphasizing how if you get to engage spirit, think of them as people with a story and a storied past worthy of respect and good research. I worked so hard to get to the point where I was accurate and caring with this ability, and ultimately as people started walking out of rooms as I walked in, I decided to let it go. Mainly to preserve a social status that was important to the job I then had, the circle of friends that came with that job at that time. Gone now are that job, those people, and well enough that life puts me in this place, away from the fickle, back with spirit, and those that get to embrace it and me. Still, I'm working so hard to get back to that place, that ability, and still, not yet. I can, in the meantime, though, encourage others to respect these unseen forces that preoccupy our efforts at paranormal investigations, hauntings, and the like. Perhaps the reason I'm still stuck was the superficial reasons I left it behind in the first place, caving into social pressure when, in retrospect, I really didn't have to. Here with us today is a woman who had this gift at a very young age and hung on to it, back when it wasn't cool or popular. Recognizing this gift could help others on either side of the spectrum. As Amy has said, it is neither a blessing or a curse, sometimes both. She ultimately held on to the ideal of helping others, likely as thankless a task as police officers or soldiers, and many a times those she helps can't be seen or heard by most she knows in life. I imagine she probably gets some flack from jealous people who aren't on TV like she is or can't do what she does or don't get the same recognition she does. Sometimes I wonder who bothers her more, the living or the dead. Still, she's hung in there where I couldn't and has mastered something I've worked so hard just to do kind of okay in, and hasn't just earned my undying respect but earned a fangirl. These two people, who I admire more than just about anyone else, both run into places others run out of for different reasons, but for reasons critical
hard just to
my
do kind of okay in.
John? I keep hearing that voice. But reasons critical to my core. I have the honor of meeting and interviewing with my everyday hero, John Tobin. Today, all those people who in everyday life and friendship I am fans of can finally be happy for me as I get my moment as a fan who finally meets the object of my fandom. Wish me luck as I metaphorically drool through this hour, trying not to sound like the fangirl I am. With any magic, I'll make two new friends today, especially if they know how this is how I feel about everyday friends. Life is cute for the Chippy today. John?
Chip, sorry about the little technical glitch there. I'm trying so hard to get back into the chat room. I did a clicky or something, and I can't get back in, so I click it, and I open it up. And I open it up on a different browser, and then I heard Chip again. I'm like, one Chip is enough. You know, eight is enough. There's a show coming out this fall on Fox called One Chip is Enough.
One Chip is Enough.
One Chip is Enough. So. No, but that was very
well
said.
That's a lead into the butt-pinching ghost show.
That whole show. We actually have an hour-long show. We're having an interview. We're doing an interview with an actual butt-pinching ghost.
Yes.
That's going to be great.
Happy ghost, too.
So not only do we have Amy and Steve from the Dead Files tonight,
yes,
we do have Courtney Murak from HauntJohns.net.
Yes.
We have some other surprises, waiting on one person to give me a yes or no, and if he doesn't reply, I'm just going to call him. And we've got some songs, we've got some other Halloween surprises, we've got some Glory Haunt Hounds news for 2013.
Oh, that's always exciting.
All kinds of good stuff.
Boy, it's going to be a good year for the GHH.
It's going to be a great year for GHH, and 2012 was awesome. 2013 is going to be even better,
if
that's possible.
It's going up like on a linear scale.
A linear.
That means straight up.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. What do you say we play the interview with Amy and Steve?
Okay, that sounds good to me.
Just want to let you guys know that due to their shooting schedule and the fact that there's like a hurricane or whatever going on out there, they wanted to tape the show early. So if you have a call, if you want to call in with questions for Amy and Steve, too bad.
Yeah.
They're not going to take them, so don't.
He is just so happy about this interview.
Let me
bucket list interview.
Let's go ahead and get it started, shall we?
Yes, let's.
Hey, everybody. We got a great show for you this week.
Mm-hmm.
We've got you want to tell them, Chip? I'm so excited.
Yes. Well, I'm the one excited here. This is, out of all the interviews we've done, this is the one where this is my favorite show. So I'm a total drooling fan, and I will say that on the record. But we have Steve DeShavi and Amy Allen from The Dead Files.
I'm very, very excited.
Yes.
Hey, Steve and Amy, how are you doing?
Good.
Hey, Amy.
Good. Thank you.
Thanks so much for taking the time to be on. As we mentioned off the air, I've been talking to you guys for a while. We've been trying to get something together with you, so I know you guys are super busy. So thanks for taking a little bit of time out of your day to talk to us today on Keeping the Spirits Alive. It means a lot. Thanks so much.
No, we appreciate you guys having us.
Yeah, thank you.
So you guys are deeply engulfed in filming, I understand. So really enjoying what we're seeing. I really like the things that keep us going, the Dead Files Revisited stuff. That's something that a lot of shows don't do, but I'm glad, and I commend you guys for doing that, because so many times where you leave a location, you go, I wonder if they listened to Amy's advice or did what they said, and to go back there and find out – that sometimes they do and sometimes they don't, and it's just a really interesting follow-up. I like that aspect of it.
Yeah, actually, I just caught up on a couple of them because we've been on the road. I just actually saw a couple because I had them taped. We've been doing reveals when our show's been airing lately, so it's been a little tough.
Oh, man.
Wow.
So you have to catch up on it later.
Hey, you're missing a lot of really great TV.
That's right. You guys are missing the best paranormal show out there,
yes,
you know?
Yes, you are. See, that's the one show I won't miss, and that's ironic right. Because they're in it, and they're missing it, so that's pretty cool.
Oh, so, Chip, by the way, thank you for pronouncing my name right.
Oh, it's a pleasure and an honor, by the way. Thank you for your service to the city of New York and really to the country. John and I here, our backstory, the short version, is that, you know, we're very involved in paranormal investigation and history and the role it plays. And John works very hard to preserve historical locations that feature hauntings, but he's also the ideal investigator. I have had some sensitivity in my past that I kind of let go and have been trying to get it back ever since. So we approach our investigations a similar way, but thank you, Steve, for setting a perfect exemplary manner of research, because we've been really touting good research on our program, and you set the prime examples of how to do excellent research. We thank you for that.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
So, Amy, let me ask you a question that I've always kind of wondered. As a physical medium, just going through everyday life, is it something that, you know, you have a way of shutting off so that, you know, you're not hearing and seeing these things constantly? I would think that would be a difficult thing to transition. How do you do that?
Well, I just learned different techniques over many years, how to best kind of tune them out. Mm. They're always around, but after many, many years and, you know, different meditation techniques, really, I learned how to kind of make it as separate as possible.
Right.
The best answer I ever heard her give was that she has a dimmer switch.
Dimmer switch.
Well, that's what I was sort of wondering. You know, I'd be kind of, you know, you're wandering around Walmart and suddenly, you know, Uncle Frank's dead nephew is there or something
uh-huh.
like that. But you can't tell him that because then they're going to be like, what? You know.
No.
Hey, if I could find a clapper for a spiritual medium, you know, clap on, clap off, I would be in line to buy that.
That would be a good tool.
Yeah, that would be a good tool. I wanted to follow up on John's earlier question to you, Amy, because we've had a couple of guests that had sensitivities at a very young age, and you know, as they grew up, they kind of it either fell by the wayside or they made a conscious decision to kind of let it go. And my understanding is that you were sensitive at a very young age, but you've managed to hang on to it. And kind of a weird question, but is there anything that you can consciously pinpoint to the reason or the fact that you managed to hold on to this ability as you grew older?
Well,
it's a tough question.
I have done research for many years, and it seems that people who tend to remain open have unfortunately suffered some type of trauma.
Mm-hmm.
And also people who suddenly become very open, you know, people who were in near-death type situations.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems to be some type of survival mechanism.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah.
I get that. I'm a 16-year sufferer of chronic pain, and I think you know, part of my sensitivity when I did come across it was a dealing mechanism. I will say that. So that makes a lot of sense to me.
So, Steve, let me ask you a question. Your career being an NYPD homicide detective, you know, all the years of doing this, and I've read before that, you know, you did work with previously with psychics or mediums, and you didn't have a heck of a lot of faith in a lot of them until you met Amy.
Right.
Now that said, when you know doing these cases, you're around death quite often. Did you ever have any paranormal experiences while being a police officer, or anything? Now looking back, you thought, well, maybe you know at the time you didn't think so because you didn't have any belief in that whatsoever. But looking back, do you think there was any times where things happened where you may have had a paranormal experience and didn't even realize it?
That's a good question. You know what? Truthfully, I think the answer to that is no. I mean, I just, you know what? It's hard to explain, but when you're on the job and dealing with the stuff you're dealing with, I don't think your mind has a chance to really slow down enough to kind of, I guess, ingest what may be going around that way around you when you're worried about all these other elements. I'm worried about getting shot at and
right.
worried about all this other stuff and worrying about tactics and other things that, like even at a crime scene where you see, you know, you got a couple of dead bodies there and they're shot up or whatever the case may be, and you're like, you know, I'm worried about preservation of the crime scene and how it looks and what evidence I can collect from it, what I can gather in my brain. The last thing on my mind is anything paranormal.
Mm.
That being said, though, now that I'm working with Amy, when I do go to a location, I spend at least an hour by myself in each location just to kind of get a feel for the place. Almost like a crime scene investigation where I'm going in, I check the place out, let me see what I can see. Not so much for debunking, because, you know, that's not what we do. I just do my investigation, but I do it as a, let me get a feel for the place, you know, that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the guys think I'm crazy, but I'm like, you know, just leave me the hell alone, let me do what I got to do. And then, I gotta say, I haven't. You know what? Maybe I'm just not sensitive. Who knows?
Well, it sounds like it's just a selective focus. I mean, Martin Scorsese had a movie a few years back with Nicolas Cage and John Goodman called "Bringing Out Your Dead." I don't know if you saw that or not.
No, I didn't.
They were paramedics, and they were basically, in a manner of speaking, haunted by some of the people they lost along the way. You know, that they arrived perhaps too late or couldn't save, and they would see kind of. For lack of a better word, ghosts in the streets, you know, as they drove by, which reminded them of cases they lost. And
well, yeah, I mean, I sleep with those demons every day.
I believe that.
The stuff I've seen, and I know Amy knows what I'm talking about because she sees it in a different way.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I mean, I've seen stuff that no human being should have to see.
But you know
what? Somebody has to do it. And yeah. And that was my job.
Here's something.
And I deal with it.
Again, we thank you for that, though.
I appreciate that.
It's a pretty thankless job, and it that makes no sense. You know, you're risking your life to protect our community, and people should be bending over backwards to thank you for that. And it just doesn't work out that way.
Here's something that I've always
But you know what? If you do the job expecting thanks, then you're never going to do it. I mean,
that's true.
It's a thankless job, is right, but you got to accept that. And if you don't accept it, then maybe you get another job.
Mm-hmm. But and that attitude right there helps to set an example going forward, which we also thank you for.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
And so do we.
Something that I've always kind of wondered, it's taking a different direction here, but you go out to these locations and you help out these folks that are clearly troubled with very diverse paranormal activity that is happening or just occurrences that are going on. Have you ever been called out to a location? I guess I'll ask Amy this. Where you get out there and, you know, you don't know where you're going. You get there and you don't know what to expect, and you get in and you're really not feeling anything. You're not picking up on the kind of activity that you're used to that we see on the show a lot.
Right.
Does that ever happen?
Oh,
and obviously those shows wouldn't make for good TV and wouldn't air, but what does that happen to you where you say, you know, I'm just not getting it here?
Well, we've been very, very lucky as far as, you know, the locations that we've had. I think if that were to happen, I think it would actually make a good show.
Actually,
because it is something that you come across a lot in the field, and you know, more often than not.
Absolutely.
You know, for years and years and years, you know, private cases, you come across that quite frequently.
Right.
So I think it is something that I would hope that would air so that. You know, people could see that and see what happens in that type of a situation. There's been locations that haven't been extreme, or there may be, you know, one or two dead people, and the rest I have to get through psychometry or, you know, my guides.
Right.
If there's no dead people there, or if they're not going to cooperate, then there's a slight issue.
And yeah, I mean, we've talked about that. If we've ever come across that in our cases, how we're going to handle it. I think we're going to handle it the way we're supposed to handle it. Right? She didn't see anything, but this is the history on the place. This is what we got.
Right.
Just because she didn't see it doesn't mean, you know,
doesn't mean it's
going
not there,
on.
But it might not be there.
I tell you, psychics aren't 100%.
Right.
Physical mediums aren't 100%. So,
right.
For us, it's okay.
Yeah.
You know, other shows may want to work around that, but we don't.
Yeah, and then that's the right approach to take. I think
it is.
You know, as you were speaking to me, I'm starting thinking about it. You know, that actually would be a great show. If it were to happen,
without a doubt.
Because it just like you said, doing private cases like we've done them for years, you'll go to home sometimes and you find out that there's psychological issues with folks sometimes, and it's not paranormal
exactly.
at all.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm sure
Amy brings that to the table too.
Yeah.
She has that experience. She has that that schooling.
Right.
You know, she's studying the people as much as she's doing what she does.
Right.
Yeah, and it really comes out in the work. I worked with schizophrenics. I taught computer skills to schizophrenics for 3 years, and I've worked a lot with the mentally ill, and it's there's a lot of stigmas that follow them that also follow our work, follow us, and follow the spirits of those. And
without a doubt. Yeah. I've worked with every fruitcake on the planet in New York, so it is what it is. I can spot them a mile away.
It is what it is, indeed.
But, yeah, I mean, that is something like I typically, when I do cases, put them through various tests to see if there's any psychological disorders or things that could influence their perceptual experiences, but it doesn't mean I discount, you know, if they do have something like that. In fact, schizophrenics, I think, are just very, very open to their environment, and they simply can't tune it out at all.
Yeah, I agree. I absolutely agree. And there's always a thing with the eyes there. It's the keys to the soul, so with those that have passed that may have had some sort of mental illness, there's a lot of soul there.
Well, you know the thing, that just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're not there.
That's right.
That's right.
You know, it is as true a statement as you can get.
Yeah.
You know, one of the funny things, or one of the things that I really like about the show, that I want to mention, that's sort of a funny thing. But when you're interviewing and you're getting the information and you're getting the backstory from the person on the investigation, you know, your facial expressions when they tell you what's happening are just
priceless.
So you can't it's so real. You can't fake that. It's just perfect. And it really emphasizes, like, really? And you're like trying to soak it all in, and you can see that.
And if they're sticking to their story when you're looking at them like that,
right,
then they must be telling
you. Right, exactly. And then you know, you ask the questions that the shows don't normally ask, and that question would be one of the best ones is, you know, if that's happening, why are you still here? And you know, they have various answers for that, but that's a great question that often gets overlooked. And then Amy,
I ask a lot of questions that never make it to air, that people wouldn't want us coming into their home after they aired it. So.
I bet. And then Amy, I've got to mention that when something particularly nasty is occurring, energies that you're picking up on, spirits, you know, your expressions are just unbelievably great. I mean, I'm sure you've heard this before, but I mean, it's the best way I've ever seen anybody to put them into the moment of what you're feeling without actually being able to feel it. You can see it on your person, and it's just fantastic how it comes across. It comes across so real. I think people can relate to that and go, wow, you know, I can tell when something is not good because, you know, you clearly can pick up on it. I just wanted to say that I like that, and you don't often see it.
Well, I appreciate that from both of us. You know, we get accused of being actors all the time. And, you know what? Yeah, I was an actor for 22 years on the job because they had an actor be a detective.
That's
so
true.
It is what it is.
Especially in an interrogation room.
I think, like, we just are who we are, and we don't really care what people think.
Yeah.
So
I'm sure that helps a lot,
you're
too.
They're thinking, you just do your job.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, the way I am on the show, I mean, not 100%, obviously, but the way I was answering questions 10 years ago is the way I do things now.
Right.
I mean, nothing's changed. My personality hasn't changed. I may ask different questions because of what I'm doing, but my personality's not going to change. And Amy's the same. I mean,
but the bottom line is you're trying to get answers to what's happening, so it's really very much, you're really still doing detective work when it comes down to it.
Oh, yeah, it's pragmatic for me. I'm doing a pragmatic investigation. I'm answering questions. I may question your your mental health at the time. I don't know. But, the thing is, I don't want to walk in and have a housewife who's drinking martinis, popping quaaludes, telling me, oh, yeah, I've seen ghosts coming out of the freaking wall every day. And I'm like, oh, okay.
That's
not what we do. And we don't want those 15 minutes of fame people on our show. We want people who legitimately need help, especially when it comes to people with kids.
One thing we appreciate is, and John mentioned the term bottom line, and to me, and because you've been doing the same thing the same way for so long, as the bottom line has a lot to do with it. People are splitting hairs on just about every little thing, micromanaging all the different facets of a crime scene or a haunting or whatever the case may be, and you just have to take the little similarities of what's there and put them all together. We appreciate you guys doing that for us.
Hey, I want to bring up a couple of I read an interview recently with you guys. The interview wasn't that recent, but I read it recently. that was mentioning a couple locations of interest or places or areas that
bucket list
that kind of would be places that would be interesting or fascinating to you to get into sometime and try to do some research and get to the bottom of certain things. And Amy and Steve on this list had both mentioned the same place, the Villisca Axe Murder House.
Right.
As a place, we talked recently with Johnny Hauser, who does the tours over there on the show, and that's a fascinating place, definitely on my bucket list. Have you guys had the chance to get out there yet? And
No. And we'd like to do it differently, where Amy does her walk, but where I go with her and I can actually ask questions like I would.
Right. That was
a totally different concept for the show, obviously, but it's a known location that she knows of, so we can break.
Yes.
The protocol for that.
Yeah, that would be a perfect setup. Because
and now that's on my bucket list. I want to watch that.
Obviously, you can't do it total Dead Files style, because of the fact that she knows the location, and there's obviously no way to pretend to not know the history of some of that. So, but that would be a great setup for that.
We did it with the Lizzie Borden house. But
right.
I think that if Steve did the walk with me, he would be able to interview them right there, and get right to the heart of the information he needs.
That would be great.
Right, figure out.
Yeah. But, as good as people are, I don't know what I'm going to ask until I get an answer.
Mm-hmm.
And because I've been doing this so long, my questions are going to be totally different from a layman.
Right.
Especially on a homicide case.
Right.
So, I get people, I watch Law and Order, and I know how to answer. Unless you've done this for a living, TV's not going to show you how to do it. Getting in there and being with her, and just working with her as a partner, like a real partner, would just blow my mind anyway.
It would be amazing, and it would be interesting to find out what kind of information that's such an old, still open case. What information you could come up with. I mean, you might even be able to come up with credible information to reopen the case in a court of law.
I have my theories about certain things, and, if I bring that to the table without letting her know, it's kind of like me not, going in with an open door for her, which she's not going to know what I'm going to ask anyway. I already have a preconceived notion of what I think might have happened.
Right. Similarly, one of the other ones on your bucket list, Steve, is the JonBenet Ramsey case. Speaking to what you just said, there was an investigator who was a retired officer, if I remember correctly, but as he investigated privately, he came up with certain information that seemed to really lead, in general, to what is now the sitting theory on the JonBenet murder case. I think his name was Smith or something, but he was a really cool guy. I don't think the politicos at the time took him seriously because he was retired and they were really catering to the media and everything like that.
Yeah.
But he ultimately came to us with the...
there's money involved and people with influence and media coverage, it kind of tightens the reins on a police investigation.
Right.
So I would never talk bad about another agency on how they handle the case, but I think if that was New York, maybe another city, I think the cops would have told the media and everybody else to scratch their ass and move it all.
Well, they just they do that in New York, though.
yeah, we do, actually, because, our biggest problem is leaks getting out to the news and our perps knowing more information than they need to know.
I would love to see what kind of energy Amy picked up on in that house. I can't even imagine. I'm sure that would be something that you would need to mentally prepare for a while, because that would be just an awful story, and I can't even imagine.
It's a problem with us going into cases that are still open. unless it's something that's like 100 years old that we were talking about. Both the cases that are pretty fresh and still in people's minds, you know, I don't know how inviting law enforcement would be to take any information that we got. And I get that. Yeah, it is what it is, but it's a case that I wish I would have worked on from, like, the beginning.
I hear you.
You know, like, when it first happened.
Mm-hmm.
But still, it's one of my... One of my cases I'd really like to look into.
And Amy, I noticed on your list you had my obsession, which is Amityville, which is a place that I've always...
We tried doing Amityville for a special. They turned us down.
They've turned everybody down just about.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, they. I mean, they've you know, I was going to just camp out on the lawn until they finally let me in, but I haven't done that yet.
I was thinking about it.
We could do that. We could just set up a big camp and just... stay out there until they have to let us in.
Please,
or we'll...
let us in.
Yeah, Steve, you can get us out of jail, right? It's New York.
Yeah. Oh, it's Long Island. I don't know if I can get you out of jail in Long Island. New York's another story.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
But we saw Ronald DeFeo recently on television with his side of things, and they're a little different now as years have passed, and I don't know why that was, but he was animated. He was intelligent. Almost credible, and you know, they came from an abusive situation, and it's hard to know how anybody would react under those circumstances. But that being said, you have to think that there's some energy in that house.
I would like to know once and for all if is it the house or is it the people that were in the house or a combination.
That's really what
I have my theory on the whole thing.
That's what I would like to know too.
Yeah, well, you know, I have my theories about it. I think it's both. You know, I think there's maybe stuff going on in that house on the paranormal side, but I also think he's just a dirtbag junkie who kills his whole family. You know what?
And it's just a volatile combination of things added with that energy that just becomes explosive.
The thing. Yeah.
But then there's the story that there was already this
pulling that trigger.
Yeah,
right.
There's this negative energy that may have already been in the house.
Yeah. It kind of alludes to an episode of Dead Files where there was a gentleman who committed a murder that was still alive, but the energy in that house, I think he was working as a busboy or something. Yeah, and the fact that there was just the energy in that house and a volatile combination of this kid being in the mood that he was on that night and the owner just saying the wrong thing at the wrong time. Boom.
Yep.
Yeah, well, what was good about that is I was able to interview that perp in jail. You know, that got edited quite a bit.
Oh, I believe it.
You know, because I got in his face, I got in his grill.
Ooh.
And, you know, it's Travel Channel. They're not going to put all that stuff on.
Yeah, that's true.
On air, obviously. you know, and I respect them for that. I mean, we're not HBO, but I could not get in the box with a kid like that and not grill him the way I think he should have been grilled.
Oh, I agree. I agree 100%.
I mean, he killed an old man no matter what the circumstances were, and he beat him to death with a hammer.
Yeah. Mm. Yep.
So, and whatever was going on, I still had to get in his face about it.
Right, because it wasn't just one shot, it was multiple.
No, he hit him like 12 times.
No.
Oh, yeah.
That's bad. Going back to the Dead Files Revisited stuff, do you do, Amy, when you go back to a location and you find out that, you know, if you've given somebody some, they say, well, what should we do? And you've given them some pretty specific advice and what you think they can do to help their situation, and they clearly haven't done that or don't do that. Now they're calling you back because things have gotten worse or, you know, things are you know, just, you know, out of control. You know, is there... I mean, no, I know that you spend a lot more time there than we see on the air to try to answer any questions and help them out in any way possible. But at that point, after they haven't listened the first time or maybe not gone through with what you advised them to try to help them out, I mean, what is your best advice to somebody that's, you know,
it's up to them to take the advice or not, and that's okay, you know. You know, Steve's done his job, I've done my job, you know, we're there to help you, but we're also there to help the dead.
Mm-hmm.
And so I hope that they take the advice so everybody can be happy, but I think that it catches them off guard because there actually is a lot that they have to do.
Mm.
And I think people in this day and age are like, okay, you know, wave your magic wand and make it go away right now. And it doesn't work like that. You know, there's a process to everything, and every case and every person is different. And you know, there's an investment there of time and effort. And sometimes, you know, I think that people are just caught off guard with that. And they don't want to do that. It's too hard. It's too much.
Yeah, it sounds like, you know, a lot of it, especially at the time. And your information at that time is new to them, and there's a lot to process, I suppose.
Well, you know what? I give them a little warning beforehand at the end of every interview for the owners or the client.
Oh.
You know, I let them know, listen, you call this in, you got to be prepared for the worst case scenario. Where Amy may tell you to burn the friggin' house down. You know what? You got to, you know, I'm not saying that that's going to happen, but you need to be prepared for that. So they know that going in when I interview them. So the thing is, you want us to come in, you want help. We had a recent case where a woman had other investigators come in, and they basically walked in and told her, yeah, we got EVPs, your place just wanted to take care. All right. They did some stuff that didn't work. It actually made things worse for her.
Mm.
Now, Amy came in with sound advice on experience that she has, and we were able to tie, which I think was pretty good, we were able to tie in what I was able to find out with what she saw there, and we know who was there, we know why he was there, and now Amy's telling, this is what you need to do. You need to do this on a, not a one-time thing. You need to do it over and over again until this is done.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, people come in without experience and don't know what they're doing. They want to help people, and I commend them for that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's kind of like a patrol cop handling a homicide.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't have the experience, you have no business doing it.
Yeah.
And if you don't know what the answers are, don't do it. You know,
right.
For me, it's like you're just making things worse for people that actually need help.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
And to me, it gets annoying on my end, and I know Amy's got to frustrate her.
Yeah.
Let me ask you something on a slightly lighter note. So you guys spend a lot of time together. Amy, do you ever pick up stuff around Steve? And if that happens, do you tell him about it? Or do you guys have like a unwritten rule? Don't tell me. I don't want to know.
Yeah, pretty much.
Pretty much unwritten rule.
Yeah.
You know, we spend more time laughing with each other than we do anything else. Mm-hmm. The last thing me and her talk about is work.
Yeah, that's true.
I we know exactly what you mean because, you know, but we're laughing a lot on the job, too, so we have the luxury.
Yeah, I mean, we go to dinner together, and I'm like, how good is that steak? I'm like, oh, it's delicious. I wonder where they get it from.
Yeah.
Especially that's the stuff we talk about. Well, what are we drinking tonight?
Yeah, no, that's the good stuff, absolutely.
Never underestimate the power of a good steak.
So the bottom line on that answer is, Amy, if you ever saw anything, you just wouldn't tell him because Steve doesn't want to know.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is that I don't read those close to me. I've learned that lesson.
Mm-hmm.
So you can kind of tune that out. You just won't read into it. If you're sensing anything, you'll kind of turn it off, sort of.
Hmm?
So if you're sensing anything there, you'll just kind of put it to the side. So people you know, if you're out to dinner and what have you with friends, family, whatever. So that's probably a good
one. We're pretty drunk anyway, so she's probably
Yeah, that's John.
You guys are talking about a completely different set of spirits at that point.
John totally has the beer, I've got the Red Bull. And between us, you know, we're always fun.
I see spirits all the time in my liquor cabinet, but that's different.
But since you...
Yeah, we have a lot of fun. When we fly together, everybody knows who's sitting next to who.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody's like, oh, my God, who are those two nuts in the corner?
Amy, what I think you should... Next time you're on a flight and you're sitting...
I like to fly, we need help.
Yeah, neither one of us like flying, so we tend to libate before we get on and then while we're flying. So.
Hey, Amy, the next time you're on a flight next to somebody you don't know, give him one of those nasty spirit looks and just freak him right out. That would be perfect.
Her and I are happy drunk, so it's all good.
Oh, don't you love it when that happens? Because it's really one way that you're either a mean drunk or a happy drunk. I'm a very, very happy drunk, too. John and I are just...
Oh, absolutely.
We just
love
everyone.
We're actually pretty drunk right now, actually.
We are sharing.
No, we're not. No, we're not. Not that
drunk. I guess I shouldn't tell you guys where I'm calling from, then.
Oh, my. Okay, you go ahead. You can tell us.
I'm calling from my boss.
Oh, there you go.
I had some business in New York today, so I stopped by and...
See, I was just about to separate myself from John here real quick, not knowing where you were calling from, but since you're calling from
I'm in. What's the drink special at your bar, Steve?
Oh, for me?
Yeah.
Oh, here?
Yeah.
When you come into this place, you ask for the wine list, they tell you we got both, red and white.
There you go. Perfect.
Mike, see, that's my kind of
place. That's the wine list here. Nice. If you come in asking for, like, a fruity drink, they'll tell you get out.
Yeah, that's my kind of bar.
Kind of place, too. Yeah.
See, and, it's the third oldest bar in New York City, and you walk in, there's old-time bartenders here. It's like, what do you have? I'll have a scotch. Okay, you have a vodka. You come in asking for, sex on the beach. They'll just like, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, yeah. See, definitely our kind of place, too. We could hang.
It's a great place to hang out. I recommend it to tourists because this is like the real New York bar. It's not a trendy place.
You can plug it if you want. What's the name?
It's Peter McManus Cafe on 7th Avenue, West 19th Street.
Oh, no kidding.
Very cool.
7th Avenue.
Oh,
very nice.
I had a drink
great
there
place.
A while
matter
back.
Of fact, when I did the third oldest, just celebrated 75 years last year.
Yeah,
Amy, have you been there? You need to check out the energies there.
Yeah, I know. I was just thinking that. I'm like, wow, really?
Well, this is a day in the life with me on the travel show, and this is where we ended up at the end of the thing.
Oh, nice.
Oh, that's right. I did see that. That was very cool. I like that little
thing. Yeah, so the end scene is at my bar. So.
Wow. I love that play. I was there like 15 years ago, I think, with my wife. Oh, I just had so
what, to New York or the bar?
New York. Well, both.
Both.
Yeah. One usually leads to the other.
Yeah, I've been trying to move out. Everybody's trying to come in.
So you guys are in the middle of filming this season, or how far along are we now?
We have two more to go,
and then we're done filming this season that's going to start airing November 2nd.
Okay, right. So November, that's what I was getting at. So November 2nd, the new season starts.
We
had a little
up
break.
Again,
we
little
had
break.
Two episodes from the third season that aired, then the revisits, and then the third season's actually starting back up. A lot of people don't realize what's going on, but the third season starting back up on November 2nd.
All right, well, that's good, because I know a lot of people were seeing the revisit, and they're like, is it going to be a while? How long is it going to be for a new episode? So November 2nd, new episode of Dead Files, Friday night, Travel Channel, 10 p.m., Steve and Amy, we're definitely looking forward to that. Give us a little clue. I know you can't talk too much about the episodes, but what should we expect to see in the first episode?
Any
coming
good
back?
Teasers coming up.
Teasers. I can tell you this. I don't know how Amy feels. I do know how Amy feels. The second season was pretty wild. Third season, we've seen some stuff, or she has, and I've uncovered some stuff that. You know, even for me, I'm like, really? some pretty active case places, pretty intense investigations, and it's not going to be, if you like the second season, you're going to love the third, let's put it that way.
Well, I'm foaming at the mouth just thinking about it.
more so than normal.
In Seattle that I had to drag Amy out of the location after the reveal. It was just too active for her. She had to get out of there.
Oh, yeah, I got sick.
You know what's so funny? I can mention
it's the Pacific Northwest vibe. That's
I'll mention one thing about Seattle. I've only been there once. It was actually on a business trip, and I was in the neighborhood, right around the neighborhood where Jeffrey Dahmer, not Jeffrey Dahmer, where who am I thinking of?
The Green River Killer.
Yeah, the Green River Killer, right in that same neighborhood where that all happened. And I walked out of the store. Supposedly where one of the murders were, and I've never had this type of sensitivity before, but I felt sick to my stomach, and I literally started, you know, getting physically sick, and that's never happened to me before, but that's the only place I've ever been to that made me feel that way. So I don't know if you were in that area or anywhere near that area, but it was just...
No, not I know what you're talking about. We weren't really near that area, but where we were was, for some reason, really, really active. It's very old, a lot of history there.
Yeah.
But I've never seen Amy act like that during a reveal.
Wow.
Which is like, because usually we hang out with our client way after filming's done, and we bullshit with them, and we have a good time, and we talk with them.
Mm-hmm.
I had to get her out of there.
Wow.
So,
yeah.
See, that's it, though.
I almost hit
the floor twice.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Yeah.
Well, that being said, John and I have decided we're going to be clients. That way we can hang around and BS and stuff, you know? If that's the way we get it to happen.
Me and Amy always hang out with our clients afterwards, and, you know, we make them feel at ease and let them know that even though it's a TV show, we're actually there for them, and it's not about us making a TV show. It's about you and your issues.
Mm-hmm. So. Well, it comes
sure
across that way.
You know, any questions they have at the time, we can answer and help them and... You know, because there's a lot of stuff that people want to talk about that, you know, they don't necessarily want on air, and you know what I mean?
I sure do.
And, so we, you know, we're there for the case.
Yeah.
Nice.
I mean, 9 minutes of the reveal airs, but we're there like 3-4 hours. So you can only imagine the dialogue that's going on if there's only 9 minutes on air, and we're there 3-4 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's like while filming, and then we're there maybe for another hour.
Hour, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, along those lines, because you two are such a wealth of information, especially to us, the epitome, as far as I'm concerned, of both, you know, investigation and communication. We've throughout the course of our show, you know, our demographic, we do have a lot of paranormal investigative teams. And we're trying to kind of set a trend that if you are to engage these invisible things at all, then think of them as people who lived a good life, that
people,
have a story, a storied past. Research the past if you can. Engage them as, you know, I see a lot of people talking, if they can't see it, they think it's evil or angry. And I'm thinking,
right,
even if
right.
it's even if it's angry, can we say, why are you so angry? Is there anything we can do? You must have a side of the story here.
You're talking to a person, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a person. I mean, usually.
Well, we just had a last case we did with
sometimes.
A person.
Sometimes. But I mean, you know, the majority of the time you're dealing with a dead person, and, you know, you're dealing with a, you know, a situation where maybe this, you know, you have three people, two of them are alive, one of them is dead. They're not able to clearly communicate.
Mm-hmm,
so there's
mm-hmm.
going to be some issues.
Right.
In any relationship where you have communication problems, there's mm-hmm. going to be issues.
Not to mention if you're breaking into their house on their schedule, forcing them to turn
right.
flashlights on.
Right,
I mean,
right,
how do you expect
right.
them to behave?
Plus, Amy says
exactly.
the way people were in life, that's how they're going to be. Like,
right.
we had a,
as above, so below.
Say, because way a person is in life, they could be that way in death also. I mm-hmm. just learned. So,
yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, I've believed that for a long time.
If they had mental issues in life, they're going to have mental issues.
Right.
Yeah.
It doesn't magically go away. Right.
So here's something that I have to ask you guys. Halloween's around the corner. This is our Halloween spooktacular episode of Keeping the Spirits Alive here. So what are your Halloween plans? Do you have any plans for Halloween? Anything cool?
We're on the road filming.
Oh, you get a film on Halloween?
Yeah.
It's going
to
be
on the road in the middle of a case.
Yeah, it's going to be annoying every time.
About that.
Well, every time you try to do
really
something on your investigation, you're going to have kids ringing the doorbell. You're going to have to keep stopping the filming to
get
up candy
for you.
Well, I'm going trick or treating no matter where we are.
Hey, oh, there you go.
Yeah,
we
like that.
I'm going to dress up no matter where we are.
Yeah, I'm going to dress up like a woman with high heels and see if I can get some.
Oh, okay.
Candy.
Yeah. That'd be hilarious.
Amy says you do that anyway, Steve.
Well, you know, that's hey, Amy. What did I tell you about what I do behind closed doors?
I wanted to dress up like Courtney Love, but have like a shotgun and brakes.
Here we go. Cool. We're having this argument again.
You should have done that in the Seattle episode.
Hey, if you guys are near Albany when that happens, you know, let us know. We'll be around, you know. Albany, New York, if you're near there, in your Courtney Love outfit, we want
to see. We definitely have to work it out with you guys to hopefully come to one of our events sometime. Because that
oh, yeah.
would be great. It would be
oh.
fantastic. We've talked about it.
I love that.
And
yeah, we're trying to work things out. We get a lot of requests to come to people's, what do they call them, I guess,
events?
Paranormal conventions.
Paracons
and, stuff,
and things like that.
Conventions
yeah.
and stuff like that. And, we're trying to work it out.
I just love, you know, you guys go to great places and, you know, you are trying to, you know, keep those places alive.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's amazing. And, yeah, I would love to be able to.
Yeah, thank you so much. That's really our main focus.
It really
is history and preserving the historical locations that have been so kind throughout history.
It's so important.
You know, and,
they're having a tough time too with municipalities how they are today in this economy.
Too many places you find just falling.
It's all about the power. That's why
it sure is. Yep.
We see it all over the place. Places just falling apart, and nobody to help out with that. And I, you know, I don't really care one way or the other if a place doesn't want me to go in there and do an investigation. That's not what it's all about for me. What it's all about is preserving the history.
Mm-hmm.
And then you know,
right.
so if they say, hey, you guys did great work for us. If you want to come in and do it, then that's a bonus. But it's definitely not my goal.
But it's an as above, so below.
Right.
For that too, because it's not just the building, but it's the people that may still be there, you know, who may have a story to tell.
Absolutely, and those people
well,
too.
Yeah,
Amy,
there's a lot of different elements to preserving our history, and you know, architecturally, and granted, you know, all of the lives that have come and gone through those doors, looked out those windows, you know,
mm-hmm, yeah.
walked those floors, and there's you know something beautiful to that I think. In America, we often let go of too quickly.
Well, thank you for saying that. Thank you.
Yeah, and if you know the people
bless
don't realize that if that place falls apart or goes away, then you know where is that spiritual energy going? It's just going to linger, and there's no building or no place, and that's people don't think about that. You know. So that's just something that you know. I think.
Well, now we're all sad.
Now we're all sad. We're sad. Well, the good news is.
I don't even know you're talking about, and I'm sad.
That's okay,
Steve.
At least we've got a good bar we can go to later. Because
yeah, that's true. That's true.
Right.
Steve's still planning out his costume. He doesn't even know what we're talking about.
I'm just I'm gonna.
No, actually, I do know what you guys are talking about, and Amy's right. You guys do a great job, and you know, not everybody's open to what you guys do.
No, they're not.
I mean, a lot more doors open up for me because of my background that don't open up for most people. And you know, I get a lot of requests on Facebook. John, you know this because I'll get a lot of questions on Facebook. How do I go about doing this? How do I go about doing that? And I'm like, you really don't have access to this stuff unless you can pay for it. Number one, number two, you got to have the contacts for all this information.
Yes,
right.
Which I'm not going to divulge, obviously.
Right.
But
no.
And you know, me walking into a library as a former homicide detective, asking the librarian, "Do me a favor, help me find this A, B, and C information. Can you help me out here?"
Yeah, they still got microfiche there. You
it's a little bit different than you know, Susie walking in and saying, "Listen, I'm a housewife. Can you help me out? I don't know what's going on in this place. I need this information." You know, it's not that I'm trying to degrade anybody, but.
No,
it's a little bit different. People are willing to help a detective more than they are.
That's true.
Other people,
and it saves a step or three or four. In
so it's an extra challenge.
Yeah, you know,
people in the field who are trying to.
Yeah, you know what? I'm a full believer in utilizing other people's talents. If they could help you, you know, I can't do everything. It's impossible. I need help. You know, I use fact finders too. Do me a favor. I got this information. Find out if it's legit or not.
You just put a good thought into my head. We're Chip and I are actually heading down to a historical society to gather some do some research right after we're done with the show here. And I think I may put my plastic police badge on to help me get some.
There you go.
Yeah.
So. I still got my McGruff badge too. I got my McGruff sticker.
Oh, so he's got his McGruff sticker.
I could
he's
be a crime dog.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Maybe they'll pay attention to me.
Wow. Well, guys, I know you guys have a really busy schedule, so I want to thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to
talk
with us.
You know, this was great.
It's been a while since we've been wanting to get you on, and really appreciate both times, Steve.
Best day of my life. You know, this is my bucket list. Chip the fangirl is going nuts, and we can't thank you enough.
He is. He's gonna. If you guys ever get a tour bus, he's gonna follow you around everywhere you go.
Oh, I will. I will.
I just, you know. No, Amy and I just want to give a shout out to our fans also, because we know without them we don't have a show, and we appreciate all their support, especially the fans that come up to us in airports and wherever we are and say hello.
Yeah,
and do not be afraid to walk up to me. It's okay. Just come over and I will. You know, just don't come over abruptly. Just come on over slowly, and I will say hello.
And now I can tell my listeners that they can stop bugging me. Get Steve and Amy on the show. Get Steve and Amy. There, all right, there you go. Now
that was more me than anybody else.
That was actually Chip, really. That was me.
Come on, can you get him?
So, guys, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. We'll definitely stay in touch, and hopefully we'll see you sometime.
Excellent.
Thanks so much. And
thank you, guys.
Thanks,
appreciate
Amy. Thanks, Steve. Happy Halloween.
Yeah. But, and
happy Halloween.
Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much.
All right, guys, that was Steve and Amy from the Dead Files, and that was a great interview. I was so excited. That was great.
Best day of my life. I'll
absolutely. Well, the Halloween Spooktacular continues on.
Yeah, please. We got spooky stuff to talk about.
Stay with us. We'll be back right after this.
Hey, hope you enjoyed that with Steve and Amy. That was a lot of fun. As you can tell, they were having a good old time.
Yes, they were. And so are we.
A good old time. Yeehaw. We are having a good old time on the Halloween Spooktacular. We got a lot of stuff coming up.
Yes, we have an hour to go.
We're extended an hour. And I just started drinking beer, so it's going to be a good one.
It's going to be fun. I got my Red Bull lit up, and John's going to be lit up, so we're going to be
good. Absolutely. So we got a couple of surprises for you.
Yes, we do.
What are we going to do? We're going to take a...